Hi everyone, welcome to the Laura Horn Art Podcast. This week we have a question from a listener about how to get comfortable being on camera. And I thought this would be a good one to chat about this week since we've been doing so much filming for our upcoming course, Modern Mixed Media. And, you know, it's been up and down at times, but there's definitely been an improvement that we've seen since we started filming online courses. And there are a few things that we do to make the whole process easier. So I thought that we could share some tips on how to get comfortable being on camera.
Hello, Laura. How are you going?
I'm really good. We were having a laugh before we started because we're in the studio this morning and we've both got these huge UGG boots on. And it's a bit of a difference from how we used to dress for work.
Yep. I used to have to wear a hard hat and a fluorescent vest over my shirt and a big pair of steel cap boots when I was a builder. And now I'm here in a checkered shirt, pair of jeans and a big fluffy pair of boots.
How things have changed.
Oh, for the best.
Yeah, but it's really cold here at the moment. Mm-hmm. I'm sure for many people listening, it's the complete opposite and it's starting to hot up. But we are, you know, jumpers, scarves,
yeah,
and the whole deal.
I'm very particular about the sound, but I've left the air conditioning running.
Yeah.
Or the reverse cycle air conditioning. So that's the heater that you might be able to hear in the background.
Because it gets really cold in this studio. Mm. So much so that we had to do an emergency run to get UGG boots.
Yes.
Because our feet were so cold. Before we get started on today's topic of conversation, let's share a review of the week. And the review is called Peaceful Podcast, and it's from Erin Peabody via Apple Podcasts in the USA. Hello, Laura. I love listening to your podcast. I'm a healthcare professional, but also an artist. And after a day of caring for others, I look forward to unwinding to the podcast. I look forward to what you'll be talking about and other artists you'll have on as guests. Keep up the wonderful work. Sincerely, Erin.
Oh, isn't that lovely?
I love that. And I particularly love the description of it as a peaceful podcast because that's something that I've always wanted to create through my art, my classes, this podcast, like a sanctuary for people where you can kind of escape some of the pressures of everyday life. So,
and I love Erin's name, Erin.
Erin, yeah, you like that?
Real Irish.
So thank you, Erin. I don't say it in the Irish way,
no.
But I also want to say that it is the last week for our promotion on the Melting Pot class. And it's funny because we're chatting about filming classes in this particular episode, and this was the first class that we filmed. And I was certainly a bit rough around the edges as far as how I talked to the camera. But it's also a good example of the fact that it doesn't need to be perfect. That class is our most popular class. So for anyone that's listening, I hope that it's an encouragement to just get out there and do it. So the class in question is called The Melting Pot. It's all about using mixed media supplies in a very free-flowing way. We start with watercolor and then add in things like pens, pencil, pastels, whatever you have in the studio. So if you head on over to laurahornart.com/classes and choose the Melting Pot, you can get 20% off using the coupon code MELT20. So that's MELT20. And the coupon code expires on the 19th of June, 2020. So pretty soon. So if you'd like to grab that class for $28, head on over now.
It's funny we're talking about filming because that's all we've been doing for the last couple of weeks is just filming and filming and filming. And I remember you saying to me one day, you're very kind to me. The second you said it to me, I just remember saying to myself, yeah, I'm kind to you because I just would not be able to do what you're doing. Even now talking on this podcast, if I have to talk for more than 30 seconds, I start to stutter and flutter. And
stutter and flutter.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I would never try and force you. If you weren't feeling it, I wouldn't try and force it to film.
It's not always easy being on camera, and I don't think it really comes naturally to anyone. Maybe the rare few, but it certainly didn't come naturally to me whatsoever.
And there's like so much going on. You're looking at yourself from a different angle. You're hearing your voice with your own ears. There's just so much ugh about it, you know?
It does feel very uncomfortable. at the beginning, but I will say that over time you'll be amazed at how much more relaxed you get, and particularly with things like hearing the sound of your voice and stuff like that. Like, that just seems normal to me now, whereas when we started, I could barely look at the replay. Mm. I could barely listen to it because I'd be like, no, do I really look like that? Do I really sound like that? And I'd always been super shy when it comes to taking my photograph or being on video camera. If I'd ever see a camera pop out, I'd be the first person to go to the toilet and hide. So this has been a complete turnaround for me and very good for my own personal confidence as well. So, but anyway, I wanted to talk about some of the steps we take to try and have good filming days. And they're not always perfect, and we do have some where we just end up going, you know what, today's not the day. But we have got to a point now where we are able to put in place certain things that help us to make the most of our filming time. And the first thing I want to say is that preparation starts the day before, or it starts before. You know, it starts with getting a good night's sleep. And that's one thing that I've realized has a big impact on me with filming, is that I do need to be well rested. And so I try and have a relaxing day before a filming day. So if I'm working on the art business, I'll make sure that I wrap up my work and I get home and I have dinner and I unwind. I don't keep on working into the night if I know I'm going to be filming the next day. I also take my time getting ready for filming. This may not be for everyone, but I like to make sure that I have, you know, done my hair, picked out something that I want to wear, and just taking a bit of time putting myself together. And this is about my own confidence and feeling good and feeling comfortable too. I tend to wear on camera the stuff that I would wear on any other day. And I know that some people will talk about not, you know, not wearing busy clothes and patterns and things like that because it can be distracting. But I just wear whatever I feel like. So sometimes that will be a floral dress, and other times it'll just be like a cozy cardi and a scarf. I don't worry too much about that side of things. It's more about the personal feeling of the clothing, like how I like it, like whether it's comfortable, whether I feel good in it. Because to me, that's more important than anything else, is that when I sit down, I'm feeling good. Because the moment that you feel good about yourself, it projects out when you speak. Sometimes it surprises me how long it actually takes me to get ready.
Doesn't surprise me.
Would you be in the studio sending me messages? Are you coming? Are you coming? And I'm like, I'm still doing my hair. I'm still deciding what I'm going to wear. All of that goes into it. And just the same way as you get yourself ready, we also get the set ready.
There's two of us here. The people listening to this podcast, they may be filming themselves.
Mm.
So not only do you have to get yourself ready and feel good and look good and build that confidence, you want to be preparing your stuff the night before. You know, your memory cards are all formatted and ready to go. All your batteries are on charge. You have your cameras already set up in the angles that you want, and you're confident with the light. It just removes any kind of stress that could trigger you into feeling not as confident. Because it's all about confidence, how you feel while you look at that camera.
I'm really glad you mentioned that, because that's what all this preparation is about. And it will be different for everyone, but all this sort of getting ready in the morning, making sure you've chosen your outfit that you want to wear, setting up your camera equipment the night before, it's all about bringing more ease into the day when you actually are in front of the camera. So what can you do? What steps can you take in the day before, or even in the days leading up to when you are going to film? You won't need to go to this level of preparation if you are filming a quick Instagram story or even like a Facebook Live or something like that. What we're talking about today is more about filming an online class, something where you want to up the quality a notch and you're putting in more time and effort into the production of it. Because I do want to say that I don't go to this level of effort if I'm just doing a quick little 15-second story.
Yeah.
So we talked about getting your camera equipment ready. And this also includes having a think about where you are going to position yourself and what the space looks like, including what's behind you in the shot. And this is an opportunity for you to bring in whatever style you want.
Yes.
So you might want a very professional, clean look that highlights the art. So it might be about decluttering your space, or you might want to bring in some of your personality and have a few interesting things in the background that people can look at and get a sense of who you are as an artist. I see very different styles of online classes out there, and there isn't any right or wrong way because people will gravitate to certain things more than others. I know for us, we particularly like it to feel cozy and homey. And we're in the new studio space now, and I do miss having our pets popping up on the table and chewing on the paintbrushes and things like that. I've always wanted it to reflect as much as possible what it's actually like when I am painting and creating, and for it to have that feel rather than it be almost like too professional in a way.
It comes back to the environment. You want a cozy environment because that's the environment you paint in.
Yeah.
Now, if you paint in a cozy environment in your studio and it's warm and it has beautiful warm colors, if you go to do an online tutorial and for whatever reason you go to a studio and then that studio is sterile, that's going to affect the way you paint.
Well, we talked a bit about that last week when we chatted about some of our mistakes and mess ups that we had and where we hired a studio.
Mm-hmm.
And the studio, well, it wasn't a studio, it was a church hall. And it was a beautiful space, but I struggled because I didn't feel at home in it.
Yeah, you don't paint in big rooms on an easel. You paint on a table in a small, cozy, warm studio. The best thing to do is to film yourself in your own studio where you normally paint. That way then, that's where you're most comfortable. It's where you're most relaxed. The most important thing is to stay relaxed as much as you can. So what we do together is we try to remove things that would stress us out, you know? So that's where our preparation comes in.
Yeah, and we've certainly found that shooting offsite or on location is way more challenging. So if you decide you want to do something out in nature, it's just amazing how you forget things and little things crop up, and it's not as smooth sailing as doing it in the studio, particularly if you film on a regular basis because you start to get a groove and feel more comfortable. And that's what happened when we were filming the vlogs. For a while there, we were creating short little video blog posts where I would share what I was up to in the studio. And we got to a point with those where we could make them quite quickly because we were familiar with the format and had everything set up. So yes, it's all about making yourself comfortable and removing stress where you can.
There's another thing that you do, which is very good. You will write down a list of bullet points of things that you want to talk about. So rather than having a script or anything like that, you'll just have a simple bullet point and then you'll elaborate on that point.
Yeah, I have found it very helpful to have brief notes. I do find that if I get too specific with the notes, then it comes across a little bit more unnatural.
The good thing about having a bullet point as opposed to a script, you're not so wooden. Do you know what I mean? You're not like trying to remember the words you said. Like you'll just have a keyword.
Yeah.
And then the words that you speak to the camera are purely just from your head.
Yeah, I find that works best is just to chunk it down and do it in parts. I had to kind of change my mindset with that and I still struggle. Sometimes I want to do it all in one take perfectly. That's quite hard, especially if you've got a long section that you want to talk about. And what I've learned from you and you've explained to me is about editing, that it's quite easy for you to edit out mistakes if I just do it in little chunks. So rather than concentrating on getting it all perfect, I just concentrate on each point. So I'll have a bullet pointed list and I'll just look at the bullet point and then I'll do that sort of like a paragraph, if you can imagine a paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
But I do it just naturally. I don't have it scripted. And then I sort of pause and I maintain my eye contact with the camera because it's important in order to do a good cut. And then I regather, might look at my notes again and then do another paragraph and do it that way in little chunks rather than feeling like it has to be totally free-flowing and 10 minutes of talking without any mistakes.
Yeah.
What I've learned through you as well is just not to worry so much about the mistakes. And we actually leave some of them in there because for the courses that we create, I feel like it's, I don't know, I just kind of like to see the just a few little bits that went wrong or where I make a mistake or I laugh or sometimes I even ask you a question or refer to you while we're filming. And we leave that in because it's just part of the whole story. So it depends on what particular style you're going for with your editing and how relaxed you want it to be versus more polished. But I like a little bit of that. I like a bit of that humanness in it. So I sometimes make stuff ups or get my words wrong or and I just leave it in.
What Laura means is that she might laugh and look off camera at me, you know, and laugh and giggle about something that she said she was going to do and didn't. Normally you would cut that out because it doesn't look professional. But it's nice. It's normal. It's natural. It's, you know, it's, I like leaving.
Yeah, you often leave those bits in. You'll say to me, I've left a few bits in that you'll probably want to take out.
But leave them in.
Yeah. I like them. And now I've become more comfortable with leaving them in. And I actually don't ask you to take many things out anymore. Whereas when we first started, and this is all about confidence too. When we first started, I'd have this long list of take that bit out. I don't like how I said that. I don't like the words I use there. I look really awkward there. And you have this huge list of edits.
Huge, long list.
But it's got easier and it will get easier if you are doing this. It takes practice just like anything. So yes, have notes by your side and look at them from time to time, but then bring your gaze back to the camera and talk directly at the camera. That's very important, and it's one of the things that you need to practice and train yourself to do, because quite often when we're thinking, we look up in the sky or look to the left, look to the right, and it's quite distracting. So that's one of the skills that we need to learn, is just to look straight down the lens. So even if you can try and remind yourself, if you're doing it on your own, as a little bit of a checklist before you start, look down the lens of the camera or stick something on the camera to remind yourself.
Yeah, I used to put a little sticker on the lens hood. I think we only did that for a couple of takes and then you had it, you know?
Yeah, and I still slip up every now and then. But yes, it makes the video so much more engaging. It's a big one.
You probably have your camera locked off on a tripod, so your camera is not moving. If you start to slouch or slump and your posture starts to change, that's very noticeable and distracting as well on the camera. Or even worse, you may put yourself in the frame and get your composition and you'll be sitting low in your chair and then you'll come back around and then you'll sit really tall. And then all of a sudden all people can see is the top of your nose and your mouth. They can't even see all of your head.
I do this to you sometimes.
All the time.
Yeah, you'll set it all up and I'll be slouching. And then when we actually go to film, one of the things I try and remind myself to do is to sit up straight, because that's another thing that helps if you're sitting down, to make sure that your posture is upright, and same when you're standing. But naturally I slouch quite a lot. So.
And another thing, like you lean over to paint.
Yeah.
So it's almost having this muscle memory to remember to, when you sit back up to talk to the camera, you're always coming back to the same position.
I try and get you to remind me to sit up straight, like just a little reminder, but not everyone's going to have someone there to say,
that's correct.
Sit up straight, Laura. But it does help. Those two things, like eye contact and posture, are very important as far as how you engage with your audience.
That's right. Now, a lot of cameras will have a flip out screen. So you'll be, especially if you're using Canon, you'll be able to see yourself. So you'll be able to flip the screen out and you'll be able to see where you are in your composition. But again, that's a really good tool for getting your composition. But you may find yourself talking to yourself in the screen. So when you look back at the footage, you're not making eye contact with the lens.
Yeah, I can't do it that way. I can't have the screen showing, because then I look at the screen and I'm not looking at the lens. So when we film, I need to be just looking at the camera, not at myself. And I find it distracting to look at myself anyway, in some way. The other thing I wanted to say is to have a drink or a bottle of water and hydrate, because you will find if you're talking a lot that you start to get, your mouth gets dry.
Yes.
And you and you start to stumble and stutter just because you need a bit of a drink and to be hydrated. And so you'll often say that to me when you can tell that I'm getting a bit tongue-tied. You'll say, okay, let's have a sip of water.
Now, I give Laura the water bottle. She'll take a sip and then I'll remove the water bottle away from the set, because there's so many times I've filmed something and there's a big water bottle stuck in the middle of the frame. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I left that in there. So if you're drinking from a regular water bottle from the store, keep it at your feet, or even better yet, get yourself a really cool water bottle. And then if it's left in frame, it doesn't look out of place.
Good tip. That's why I always try and choose mugs that won't look too
too
bad if I leave them in the frame. Although I don't have a bad mug. They're all good. They're all my friends.
I can't stand your mugs. That's a lie. They are nice. They
sometimes just, I have two or three of them on the table. Like, that's a bit much.
Yeah.
So I also wanted to mention that we do a little test run when we start filming. So we have everything set up. I sit down and we always record a couple of minutes, bring it over to the computer and check everything. And usually this is a little bit of my vanity that I want to make sure that everything looks okay as far as my hair and stuff like that. Although I don't always get that right. But anyway, little check on that. And then you check all the technical stuff, the light and that the set looks okay. And that's when you often do notice if you have something weird, like a bottle of water or some kind of supplies that are blocking the view, or just they're distracting. At the end of the day, you want to make sure that you have a scene where the focus is in the right place.
The main camera that you speak to, we call that camera one. And I have a secondary audio that runs into that camera. So there's a microphone just above your head. So if something was to fail with the audio, like my main audio recorder was to fail or whatever, I would have that one to drop back to. The most important part of that test is you happy with your hair, happy with the color, you know, happy with what you're wearing, happy with the set. It's just those tiny little, you're just ticking the boxes of confidence confirmation.
Everyone's going to think I'm obsessed with the way I look this podcast, but it's only natural, isn't it?
Of course, because thousands of people are getting to see it. The thing is, and then sometimes you'll say, oh, I'll just put some lipstick on.
Yeah.
So you'll do tiny little changes. And then while I'm there doing that, I'm like, oh, that bookshelf needs a little bit more light on it. My exposure is a bit too high, and I'm checking the audio, and then my confidence goes up, your confidence goes up, and then we film.
And we didn't used to do that very often, but now we do it for every video. We just do a little check because we've realized that checking that everything is as we want it at the beginning, before we launch into several hours of filming, it saves us time in the long run. Now, do you have a checklist that you go through in your head from the technical side to make sure that you don't have any problems with things?
Yes.
Can you run through that quickly?
Yeah, I walk through everything verbally. My verbal checklist is I will go to the sound recorder and I will say out loud, sound recorder microphone on. Then I'll check that all the lights are on and the record is flashing. I will then come to my camera, the camera that I use, which is camera two. And I will say, camera two, record. Then I'll move behind you to the overhead camera. And I say all this out loud. And I'll say, overhead camera, record. And then I move around to camera one. And I say, camera one, record. And then I make my way back to my camera. And as I'm making my way back, I'm double checking everything. And then we do the sound clapper. And I tell you, you're good to go. And then I'm constantly checking. I'm constantly checking the screens. Are you in shot? Especially with the overhead camera, because you like to move stuff around. So I have to be sure that you don't move stuff out of shot. But you're getting very good at that too. Like if I say to you, put that there, leave it there, you tend not to touch it.
So for someone who's doing it on their own, it would be worthwhile kind of marking out where you're zone is on your table, so that you know that if you move something outside of that, it's not going to be picked up by the overhead camera, because sometimes I'm not all that aware and you have to say, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You're moving.
So get yourself a little bit of masking tape or something, and set your overhead camera up, tape outside of the edges so the camera doesn't see the tape. That's your area.
Yeah, so you've got a bit of a guide there. Okay, so that was more of a little bit of a, on the technical side.
And again, the reason I run through all of those things is because the last thing you want is when you're filming and you're getting comfortable and you're getting into your groove, because this is all about how to be good on camera. If I have to say to you, oh no, I forgot to turn the audio on. Oh no, the overhead camera went off. I'm taking you out of your groove. So I have to, like, the technical side of stuff has to be in the background.
Yeah, run smoothly.
Run smoothly so you can be the best, like you can give the best you can give.
That's a good point, because if you're doing it on your own, a very quick way to up your stress is to have some of these technical problems, you know, to have sat down and recorded a really good section. Because sometimes I feel so happy when I stop talking and I've managed to get what I wanted, what I had in my head and I would planned, and it actually got it out and it sounded, you know, coherent.
Yes.
And then, you know, to have something like that where you realize, oh my gosh, I didn't press record, or I didn't do something like that. And then kind of sets the tone for the day, because you start getting stressed out. And yeah, so all of this is about staying relaxed.
Yeah, I had to make a couple of videos for the gym while COVID-19 was down. And it's fine when I'm filming the other guys from the gym, but I had to do a couple myself. And I kept getting up and saying, is that camera on? So I'd be speaking to the camera and then this thought would pop into my head, is that even turned on? You know?
Paranoia.
Yeah. If you can do a verbal check.
Yeah, just go around and check and everything.
Yeah, and then sit down, get your posture right, have a sip of water, and then say to yourself, everything is running. I have 30 minutes now, and then go.
So how do you know when the 30 minutes is up? Does it make a noise, or do you need to set a timer, or how do you prevent keeping on going? Because I'm just thinking about it from an art point of view. You get very swept up. I know this happened to me yesterday. I went into the studio to paint for 10 minutes. And I came up for air 4 hours later.
Mm.
And I can imagine if I was doing this on my own, that 30 minutes would end and I'd just keep painting.
Yeah. And some cameras only record for 20 minutes.
So how do you make sure that you reset?
Well, I guess the best thing to do would be to put a timer on, an audible alarm that
yeah,
would go
that's
off.
What I'm thinking.
But also, there's settings in the camera. If you don't turn these settings on, that camera will not make a sound. It'll just continue. It'll stop recording, but it'll stay turned on.
Scary.
Yeah. So I have a little fail safe, which is if the camera isn't being used for 30 seconds. So let's say it stops recording. If you don't touch that camera inside a minute, it will turn itself off and you'll hear a very loud audible click.
Yeah, that's what I've heard before, you know, when we've been filming, a loud click.
Yeah. Now it's a bit annoying, because when I'm setting up my set, I turn my cameras on and they're constantly turning themselves off while I want them to run, you know?
Yeah.
So it can be a little bit annoying that way, but it has gotten me out of trouble so many times for that camera to just go click and then it's time to get up and turn it back on.
So let's talk about talking to the camera. And one of the things that I have to remind myself not to do is to ramble on and say the same thing again two or three different ways. And I think this sometimes comes from a lack of confidence that it's like that nervous energy that you keep talking and saying more. I'll often like kick myself and I say, stop it, Laura. So you don't need to say it. You've already said it. You don't need to say three different versions of the same thing.
Yeah. And it's funny because the edits, like you were just saying that we don't have many edits now. We don't. But the only edits that we really get is you'll say, take that out, Richie, because I say it again at the end.
Yeah, which is, in some ways it's good, because you double up and then you can remove what you don't need. So, it's better to have too much than too little, because the other thing is that you realize afterwards that you didn't say things that you wanted to say.
Yeah.
And that's where having your bullet points helps. So I do suggest having those bullet points so that you can then at the end of a video just quickly go down the list and check, did I mention this? Did I mention that? So that you've covered everything. But yes, I try and keep my sentences a little bit more succinct now. And sometimes you have to re-record them so that I can just get them down to a level where I'm just saying what I need to say and not not going on and on and on. And I also notice certain words that I repeat a lot. And I think everyone has this to a certain extent. And I often say really all the time. I also say super quite a lot, like I get excited. There's just certain words that I say an excessive amount of times, and I'm learning how to curtail that a little bit. But it's hard. It's really hard. See, I just did it again. Really. I just really is one of those words that isn't necessary, but I seem to put it into my sentences.
I don't notice them at all. If you're going to have a front-on camera that you're talking to, you're going to have a second camera. So let's say an overhead. Have confidence in the overhead camera. If you want to talk, talk. You don't have to stop what you're doing and then look up into the camera to speak to it. Have faith that the overhead camera will pick up the work that you're doing. And as you talk, you can leave it on. You don't have to cut back to camera A. You can just start, you know, you can just let it run through the overhead.
Yes. Yeah. You know? So you don't always need to be talking face to face into the camera. I mean, many people do classes where they record the footage and then put a voiceover over the top. But we're talking today specifically about being on camera and talking on camera. And there is definitely a move towards more of this in online classes because it is so much more engaging and people get to know you. And there's just something nice about seeing a face, seeing the face behind an artist. So if you can do that in your classes, even if it's just at the beginning and the end, so an introduction and a wrap up, and then while you're working, the overhead camera can record what you're doing, and you can talk while you're doing that if you want, or you can insert voiceover in there. But to have a little bit at the beginning and the end where people get to see your face.
Yeah, and I will give everyone a little bit of advice technically, but it also helps in your editing. When you set up your camera, again, I'll call it camera one, just the camera you speak to. If you set up a little foreground element, so I like to use your water jars as the foreground element, and then I have you, which is the primary subject, and then behind you then is the background element, so like your mood board, the library books, the bookshelf, all that kind of stuff. The great thing about having a foreground element like your water is that when you clean your brushes, I can cut to you cleaning your brushes, the camera once. I'm picking up your animation, like I'm picking up your movements when you move your hands around as you're talking, or you're cleaning brushes while you talk, or you're putting paint into the palette as you talk. Now, you're very good at this now. You, when you look up and you clean your brushes, you tend to look in the camera and speak. But if someone was just doing an online tutorial for the first or second time, you don't have to be looking at the camera when you're talking and cleaning your brushes, but you could still use that camera angle because it's really nice. You're showing your audience you in your element. Does that make sense?
It allows people to see just some of the little, I don't know, it gives them a more of an insight into you as an artist and your studio practice. So you get to see some of the movements and mm-hmm. the washing of brushes. And
yeah.
You know, even if you knock something over and clean it up and all those little bits and pieces.
Yeah, and cut back to that. Like, cut back to that because people like to see it. Now, the more you do it, the better you'll get. You'll come up and you'll be cleaning your brushes and then you'll look straight into the camera and it looks so natural. And really professional. And I think it's something that you should be thinking of, you know.
Once you get used to talking into the camera, it becomes quite natural. And it almost feels like you're chatting to a friend. Like people say to sort of imagine that you're chatting to a friend. But those moments where I wash my brush and something happens, like often sometimes I splatter stuff everywhere and I'll just look up at the camera and go, oh, I did it again. Like, and it's the most natural thing in the world because it truly does feel to me like the people in my art community are just there and they're the best bits because the other bits are a little bit more scripted. Like I do have my bullet points and I am thinking about what I want to say beforehand, whereas those bits are just, they just come naturally.
Yeah,
and having a combination of the two is a lovely balance, because what you want is to impart useful and helpful information, and that's where your notes come in. And that's one of the reasons why I started including notes, because I did realize that I was missing important bits of information. And I want to thank my community, who have been very supportive in providing feedback to me, so that I've been able to learn and grow. And that feedback has helped me to make sure that I provide information about the supplies, the steps, break it down. So those notes help for that enormously. But then there's the candid stuff that happens. And having a combination of the two, to me, I think that's the sweet spot in it all. You know, don't be afraid to smile, to laugh, to be a bit goofy in front of the camera, to share who you are. And I mean, it depends who you are. If you're a bit of a goofy person, be that person. If you are more of a, what would I say? Like, you know, if you are very calm, bring that calm into your videos. Or if you're high energy, upbeat, which I'm not. I'm not like a super high energy person. But if you are, then by all means, bring that to your courses or your online content that you're creating.
If you tried to be a clean space artist as we filmed, it would never work, because you drip paint everywhere. You get paint on your hands, you get it on your clothes, it goes everywhere. Like, you know, you paint across different paintings, you drip stuff everywhere. Now, if that's, you're a messy painter. So if you're going to be a messy painter, do not try to be a clean painter. It will take you completely out of what you're doing.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things. Yeah, I think that's one of the things that has tripped me up at times when I've actually tried to be something that I'm not. Like, I've sat down to film a class, and maybe I've seen another class, or I've seen something on YouTube, and I've thought that it needed to be a certain way, like maybe a bit more professional. That's usually when I just can't find my flow, because I'm not being myself. And now I've concluded that the best thing to do is to bring you to the camera and do it your way.
Yeah, because if you start out being someone else, you can't then all of a sudden be you.
Yeah.
So start with being you, and then you get better.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Like, just to always be you, you know, speak the way that you would normally speak. Use the kind of words that you use. Laugh and joke the way that you would normally. That you don't need to change in order to be on camera. You just get better over time at, you know, speaking clearly and taking breaths and not rushing and those sorts of things. So it does get more polished over time, but it is still you, and that is what's most important. Well, that's it for this week. I hope that you enjoyed the episode. I know that it's not always easy to share the artist behind the art, but I hope that this episode encourages you to allow your personality to shine through and do it your way. One last thing before we go, I wanted to remind you that the promotion on the Melting Pot class is coming to an end on the 19th of June 2020. So you can save 20% off that class up until that date using the coupon code MELT20, M-E-L-T-2-0. And all my classes are at laurahornart.com/classes. And the reason that that one's coming to an end is because we have something new and big coming. The e-course that we have been talking about for so long is nearly ready. Modern Mix Media will be opening up for registration at the end of June. So make sure that you are on the list so that you get notified as soon as that happens. And you can do that by heading to laurahornart.com/modernmixedmedia.